This is The Annex, a sociology podcast. I'm Joseph Cohen from the City University of New York. Today, Jussie Smollett. Our panelists are Leslie Hinkson from Georgetown University, Jean Beeman from Purdue University, and Margaret Hagerman from Mississippi State University. Our discussion was recorded on March 27, 2019.
Okay, everyone. So I just heard this morning that Jussie Smollett is just going to walk. This after a grand jury basically indicted him and said, yeah, we think this should go to trial. Mm-hmm. And it seems as though he's allowed to walk. He forfeits his bail bond money. It's $10,000. It just goes back to the city of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And that's about it.
Well, he lost his role on Empire, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's a pretty big price to pay.
That actually happened? Oh, I didn't realize that.
Oh, I don't know. I assumed it did, but maybe it didn't.
Well, I've just been focusing on kind of the legal side of this, in large part because it goes to this conversation that, you know, that just got reignited again after we heard Paul Manafort's like first round of sentencing, where mm-hmm. he was getting 4 years, and people were saying, well, if we compared Paul Manafort to others who committed similar crimes but don't look like he does and aren't as wealthy as he is, mm-hmm. you know, we see that there are these sentencing disparities. And I think Rahm Emanuel, who's the mayor of Chicago, in his press conference was saying, this is, you know, yet again an example of how, like, the wealthy and the famous, you know, are able to, you know, navigate a criminal justice system in ways that favor them, but that don't favor those who aren't as wealthy and aren't as famous.
You know what I thought of when I heard of the Manafort sentence? Do you remember that woman who got like 9 years for voting twice in Texas?
Yeah.
You know, like I was like, what?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. absolutely.
Yeah, you get 4 years for trying to bring down a democracy.
Yeah. But this is such a dispiriting story. And I originally didn't even want to put it on the slate just because, you know what it's like, the Jussie Smollett thing? It's like, to me, it's like the race equivalent of, there's a certain type of argument that comes out of parts of the Jewish community where, you know, it's like, my attitude is don't pull the anti-Semitism bell until it's really happening, because every time you pull the bell and it doesn't pan out, you waste it mm-hmm. for people in the future. And it was really unfortunate that he did that. Like he pulled the bell and he did it for personal reasons. And I don't think it's indicative of anything. I think it's like an individual jerk who sort of did damage to an institution that people really need. And I got to tell you, all of my Trump loving Facebook has been going on about that for like 2 solid months. It was like the reason that they were looking for to not care about hate crimes or whatever.
Oh God.
So I still just have so many questions about this case, even when the charges are dropped. I mean, because I don't understand, even if this was something that he concocted, like how that was even supposed to work. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's just an odd strategy to get more money in the first place.
It was a stupid strategy. He paid by check. So that's how well he thought it through. He like paid his co-conspirators by check.
Although, like, also too, it like he like as far as Smollett is concerned, he's like, would I be so stupid to do something like that? Although, yeah. Actually, this does remind me of a Scooby-Doo episode where, yeah, I mean, he was like, would I be so stupid to do that? Right, and you know, there's this okay. Right. So,
yeah, I guess I don't know. I have a lot of questions.
Oh, so do
like,
I.
I get stupid, but like, you know, they're stupid and they're stupid. Like, you know, I don't know. Like, you're smart enough to hire people to do this, but then you're stupid enough to pay with the check. I don't know how that works.
I don't know. The president did the same thing. So I guess you know how it's like Dunning-Kruger? When you're smart, you assume everybody else is smart. But when you're dumb, you figure you're really smart.
Yeah.
So it might be one of those things.
All right. Okay. Touché.
Yeah, I think most of us are confused. Like, I don't know what to think. Like, I want to think that, you know, that prosecutors in Chicago and law enforcement in Chicago did the right thing. And, you know, for one of the first times in a long time in a public case in Chicago, we have seen that law enforcement actually did their job and did it with integrity, right? But is that, I mean, is that as far-fetched to believe as believing that Jesse Smollett was actually attacked and that all of these other things are just all these coincidences?
Has he been getting a lot of blowback in the Black community? Like, I mean, as if a Jew did that with like an anti-Semitic crime, I'd be very, very angry at that person.
Well, from what I've seen, and you know, I mean, there's the black community, but like it's not homogeneous.
Right,
so, so from what I've seen, I mean, there are people who support Smollett, right, in saying like, come on now, right? You know, we have to support him. If he says that it happened, then it happened, right? And why are we all of a sudden believing Chicago PD? Right. But then on the other hand, there are people who are really, really, really upset. I mean, some of us who are old enough or kind of old enough to remember the whole Tawana Brawley case in New York City. Right. And
what was that? I have no memory of that or knowledge of it.
Yeah. So Tawana Brawley was a teenage girl. This was sometime in the 1980s. And, you know, she was late coming home and her parents got worried. And, you know, eventually she's like in a garbage bag. Like there's dog feces spread all over her. Like, you know, she's got the N-word. Like, I can't remember if it was written in dog feces or if it was carved, right? Mm-hmm. You know, into her, I think it was her forehead or her stomach, one or the other. I don't know. I was a kid when this happened and it was huge. And Al Sharpton was behind her. You know, the entire, like the Black community in New York was totally behind her. And, you know, and she said that police officers were the ones who did that to her. There were white police officers who she said did this. And what ended up happening was one of the police officers ended up killing himself because of it. And then over time,
And then over time,
people started going, wait a minute, some of these things aren't adding up. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, I still don't know. And maybe it's because I was relatively young when this case was out. But I still don't know if Tawana Brawley, like one story is she made this all up because she was with her boyfriend and she was late getting home. And this seemed like, you know, a much better thing to do than to actually go home and face the consequences of her behavior. So that's one narrative. And the other is, no, this actually happened. Right. And, you know, and for whatever reason, like they weren't able to assemble like all of the proof and et cetera, et cetera. And I still don't know. Like, I still don't know.
Oh, I'm looking it up. She was 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, if you're a kid, that's something else. I like, that's just a sad story then, no matter what, if it's a minor.
Yeah.
All right. Well, It's a sad development, and it's sad that it happened like this. But
I'm still not even sure what happened.
Yes,
I mean,
same here.
So that's why even when you say that, I'm like, what exactly happened? I don't even
know. No, and I don't think, and we don't know what happened. And I think to this day, I believe Tawana Brawley like sticks to her story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, her I don't question. Like, well, with kids is a special case in my opinion. But like, I'm thinking, I switch back to Jesse Smollett in my head, I guess, without saying anything. That one is it's a sad development just because of the effect that it has on delegitimizing. If it's true, the effect it has on delegitimizing hate crime reporting. So
yeah, although I guess I feel like people who are less inclined to believe hate crimes occur are still less inclined to believe hate crimes occur, whether or not this happened or not.
You've been listening to The Annex, an academic sociology podcast. You can visit our show site at sociocast.org/annex. We are on Twitter at Socianex and on Facebook, the Annex Sociology Podcast. Our producer is Liseth Moreno. Music by Lena Orsa. I'm Joseph Cohen. Thank you for listening.